Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
When we feel a little lost, when the world seems chaotic, sometimes the best path forward is the one that leads within. Sometimes the inward journey is the one that leads to lasting peace. Picture with me, if you will, that moment when you turn off your television or press the power button on your phone, and just for a second before you go and do whatever else it is you're going to do, you catch that quick glimpse of your reflection in the dark screen. You know that moment? When you see yourself as in a mirror dimly? Of course, that does necessitate turning off the screen every once in a while. Stepping away from those alerts, looking away from the 24-hour news cycle, something that is increasingly hard these days for good reason. There's so much going on in our world, both near and far. The invasion of Ukraine, violence in Rochester, a housing crisis, inflation, the scourge of racism, the fracture in our denomination and in our democracy, the peril of our planet, the ever-increasing gap between the haves and the have-nots, and that's not to name the 18 or so active conflicts around our globe that receive virtually no attention at all. No, there are plenty of things to be paying attention to right now, and it's a lot to take in. There are plenty of things, all of those images of the brokenness of the world, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively, but always painfully revealing to us just how far we have to go. That's the thing. It's so tempting to just keep watching, waiting for that next calamity to strike like a kind of macabre reality show that never really ends. But therein lies the rub, doesn't it? If we really do want it to end, and we do, if we do really want the world to change, and we do, then at least as a people of faith, we know that we can't just watch. It doesn't take long watching, just taking in information, consuming one calamity after the next before we find ourselves almost at capacity, before we find ourselves filled up, ready to just throw our hands up. Maybe some of us are there this morning, feeling that kind of empathetic fatigue, wanting to care, deeply wanting to care, knowing that we should care, but struggling to actually find it in us to care. And instead, just turning the other way. Of course, we can go too far the other way as well. We can barely hear the news before we jump to action, ready to do whatever we can, ready to write that check, gather those goods, do whatever we can. And we know, as we know from hard experience, just how harmful that can be as well. Thoughtless action risks making the problem worse. Considering not what is actually going on, but what we think we know. But maybe there's a middle ground, friends. Maybe we can find a middle ground, some kind of balance between weary apathy and thoughtless action. And if we're going to find it, it's got to start with some humility. To recognize that if we're going to change the world, we have to start with the way that we live within it, which is going to take some self-reflection. It's going to take those moments when we can see ourselves clearly, like when you turn off the TV or press that power button on your phone and you just catch a glimpse. Maybe we can use those glimpses to draw us a little closer to Christ. Maybe in those moments we can start to see ourselves. We can not just let them pass, but instead really stop for a moment to pray, to consider how it is with our soul, to consider how we are living in this world, to recognize that if we want to affect what is out there, we're going to have to start with what is in here. Howard Thurman said, when I go deep enough inside myself, I come up inside all other people. So maybe if we're really looking for lasting peace amongst all this chaos, we're going to have to start with the thing that we actually have some control over, which is ourselves. Of course, it helps to make sense of what is happening out there, or perhaps why it is happening. It's a fairly natural question. Most of us ask it at some point or another, don't we? Why is this happening? It's an age-old question. We can even hear it in the scripture lesson for today. It's there behind the scenes in that passage from the Gospel according to Luke that deals with current events of his day, not ours, but his. And maybe by hearing how Jesus responds to those current events, we might learn a little something about our own. The story begins with a crowd coming to Jesus and asking about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifice. To be clear, we have no idea what he's talking about. No clue. There's not a single extra canonical reference to that particular moment. It's not in any of the other Gospels. The only place it exists is in that little line in the Gospel according to Luke. Maybe it was an event of that day. Maybe it was an event of Jesus's day. Who knows? We have no idea. We do know something about Pilate. He'll become important in a couple of weeks. He's that Roman official, after all, who makes it possible for Jesus to be crucified. All we really know is that the people in Luke's gospel were trying to make sense of it. See, in those days, they thought they had a clear understanding of why bad things happened. Sin. Why is there so much pain and angst in the world? Sin. That was the Deuteronomic understanding of the day. It was there in the Deuteronomic codes, and so they had an understanding. If bad things happen to you, then you must have done something bad. So clearly, if the Galileans had their blood mingled with their sacrifice by Pilate, they must have done something wrong. That's an understanding in some ways that's still alive today, isn't it? How many times have we heard those preachers stand up when a calamity has struck and blamed the people who have been a part of it, the sin of the community that was involved? We've heard that. Of course, it's something we do individually, too. We just don't always think of it that way. Every time we look in the mirror and we ask ourselves, what did I do to deserve this? In a way, we're living into that kind of understanding. And truth be told, there is something nice about it, about a simple understanding of the way the world works. Bad things happen to bad people. Only the hard part is that we know from experience is that it's not true. If that were the case, then the worst people in the world would suffer the most. But that's not the way it works. Look at the children in Ukraine right now. The truth is, sometimes really good people still struggle, and sometimes bad people seem to get by without any suffering at all. No, that's not the way it works, friends. The truth is, we are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. If it were the case, then we would all be doomed, but we're not. Here's the thing. God gives us freedom to live in this world, which means that sometimes bad things are going to happen. Yes, sometimes because of our own choices, or the choices of someone else, but sometimes it's just because that's the way it is, because that's what happened to have happened. It is not the case that we reach some threshold of sin and God suddenly flips some cosmic switch and forces calamity or disease upon us. That's not the way it works. Maybe there's someone out there this morning who needs that reminder, who's been facing something that's too hard in their life. Maybe you just need a reminder that God is not doing this to you. And in so many ways, God's heart is the first to break. No, friends, the promise of our faith is not that bad things aren't going to happen. The promise is that when they do, we don't have to face them alone. That's why we're here. Jesus takes the understanding of the crowd and turns it on its head. He takes that understanding of the Deuteronomic codes that sin causes the bad things to happen and turns it on its head. He tells them, do you think that because of the way these people suffered, they are any worse sinners than any of you? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. See, we hear that as a sort of threat, but the truth is, it's just the truth. That is, we all have a choice about how we're going to live our lives. None of us are guaranteed another day. We're not guaranteed another afternoon. All we really have is this moment and a choice about how we're going to live. To repent means to turn in the direction of life. Because if we don't, then we never fully live. Jesus then goes on to give another example of when the Tower of Siloam fell, killing 18 people. Again, no clue. No idea what he's talking about, but we get the point he's driving at, don't we? Everybody has a choice about how they are going to live their lives. But if we're going to figure out how to make that choice, it's going to take some self-reflection, some moments of pause to take a look in that mirror whenever we have the opportunity, not to check our teeth or our hair, but to check in with our souls, to see how we're doing, to see what sort of condition our condition is in. It's a time for self-reflection so that we can lead to selfless love. We're called to do two things, love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what Christ commands. But loving our neighbor as ourselves requires that last part first. And maybe that's where some of us need to spend some time figuring out how to love ourselves a little bit more. Not to be self-centered, but to center ourselves and to trust that in so doing, it might lead us out. The good news that comes alongside that choice is that even when we make poor ones, every moment is another chance to choose again. That's what the story of the parable of the fig tree is all about, choosing our way towards life. See, Matthew and Mark also tell a story of a fig tree, but in theirs, it is a fig tree that is cursed, that is never to bear fruit. But Luke is the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We hear that in a few weeks as well. We'll hear next week another story of grace, the parable of the prodigal son. It is a story of a radical grace which promises that no matter how far out we are, no matter how many times we have made poor choices, every day, every moment is another chance to choose life, to turn in the direction of life, to find that peace by going within so that we can it lead us without. The story of the parable of the fig tree is a fairly simple one. A man comes, sees that his fig tree hasn't produced fruit in 3 years, and so says, cut it down. Only a gardener steps in and says, let's give it another year. And in this year, let's dig around the roots and put down some manure. Then, if it doesn't grow any fruit, we can cut it down, though one gets the sense that even if the man were to come back a year later, perhaps that gardener would still be there saying, let's give it another shot. See, that's how grace works. It's there, whether we deserve it or not. There is hope in that, that even when we make poor choices, God is there. Christ is there to be around us, within us, surrounding us. That even when our life is piled with manure, and for some of us it feels like that, piled high and deep, that maybe even there, if we get a little help to spread it out, we can get nourishment even in that. Do you see the hope in that, friends? Because here's where we are, overwhelmed by the world. looking around and every day getting another news alert. We got one another this morning, a shooting in Arkansas. Are you kidding? Here we go again, finding yet another challenge to face, and every day it's going to keep coming. And so what can we do in the midst of it? We can pause to make sure we know who we are and whose we are in the midst of it, so that in that inward journey it can lead us out, so that we can love broadly and with abandon, and to recognize that even when we fail, the grace of God is there. That is the hope of the gospel, that we can continue to find our way no matter what comes at us, because we are not facing it alone. Christ is with us. We are with one another, so that we can spread out that manure when it comes, so that we can find those nutrients, so that we can give a fig. This Lent, we are planting seeds that we pray will bear fruit. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time and nourishment and energy and a little faith. Maybe together we can get there. When we feel a little lost, when the world seems chaotic, sometimes the best path forward is the one that leads within. Sometimes the inward journey is the one that leads to lasting peace. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.